Good morning. We are in a series where we are going through some of the titles of Jesus that we find in the scriptures. 2 weeks back, we looked at Jesus who is the seed of the woman. Last week, we looked at Jesus who's the true prophet. This week, we're going to look at yet another title we find in the scriptures. And some of you may be wondering, why on earth did we read such a long passage out of the book of Leviticus this morning, which for some people is their least favorite book of the Bible? I always joke that sometimes when people want to read through the Bible the first time, all the way through, and they go through Genesis and it's great, everything's great, and they go through Exodus and it's still pretty good, and then you get to Exodus and you think, boy, I don't know if I can go any further. This is weird stuff. But I hope that this morning it will make a little bit more sense. And we're going to take a look at a passage in addition to the Leviticus one in the book of Hebrews. And what's in your bulletins, I goofed up, is not the right passage, so don't pay attention to your bulletins. If you've got your Bible with you this morning, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, and this is what we find there. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly place of holiness, for a tent was prepared, the first section, in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of the presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the Most Holy Place, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna and Aaron's staff that budded and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but only deal with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not of his own, for then he would not have to have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for these passages, from Hebrews and Leviticus, and we pray that you would open our eyes this morning, our ears, our hearts. Help us to understand this truth more deeply so that we can know you more clearly in our lives, but also follow you more faithfully. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed this or not when you turn on your TV, but Americans seem to be obsessed with things that are deadly. Almost every TV show seems to have something in regards to this, but we love things that are dangerous and things that are deadly. How many TV shows are about people taking extreme risks, people doing extreme sports, people going out into the wild and trying to survive and doing things that, you know, will maybe put their life in danger? We even like to watch shows about people's extreme and deadly jobs. There was several years back that there was a show called America's Deadliest Jobs, and now they have just dedicated shows, it seems like, for every job. If you look at one of those shows or read a list about the top 10 most dangerous jobs in America, there's always a few that come in like the number one or number two spots. One of them that's always one of the top most deadly jobs is logging. If you're a logger, your life is in danger a bit. But another one that's sometimes rated the most deadly job that a person can have is commercial fishing. If you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I looked this up, the Bureau of Labor Statistics rated commercial fishing to be the job with the highest fatality rate of any other job. And certain types of fishing are even worse. I guess during Alaskan king crab season and the Alaskan king crab fishermen, that job is so dangerous that they average one death per week. One fisherman dying every single week during the Alaskan king crab season because the waters are so dangerous, the conditions are so horrific, the heavy machinery that's on top of the boats is very dangerous and unstable, and so it's incredibly dangerous. In fact, they said not only is there an average of one death per week, but the injury rate for someone working in that profession is almost 100%. So imagine you go to a job interview and they tell you, well, you are guaranteed to be injured if you work at this job. The injury rate is 100%. That's kind of a hard sell, if you ask me. But these guys make a lot of money, and we love watching it. Anybody ever watch the show The Deadliest Catch? That show has been on for like 10 or 11 seasons, I think. And we have entire shows dedicated to this. And no matter how deadly it is, no matter how strange it is, and how sick it may be that these things happen, we like to watch it because it's something captivating about this, something about these deadly jobs. Well, when you look at the scriptures and you read, for instance, the passage that we read from Leviticus this morning, there's another deadly job that you find in the scriptures. And I'm going to argue this morning that this job is actually more deadly than any other job that you might see on one of these TV shows. More deadly than being a logger, more deadly than being a commercial fisherman. In fact, this job, if you screw up, you're not just going to maybe die, you will certainly die if you mess up this job. And that job is the job of the high priest. The high priest was an extremely deadly job to have. What was the role of a high priest? Well, in order to understand what the role of a high priest was, you have to understand what was going on in the Old Testament. One of the biggest problems throughout the entire Old Testament was this question of how could a sinful people have a relationship with a holy God? After Adam and Eve fell, there was a broken relationship between all of their offspring after that point and God, because God is holy, and a holy and perfect God cannot have a relationship with sinful people. His holiness would be compromised if he did that. So we cannot be in the presence of a holy God because of our sin. And not only that, but the scriptures say the wages of sin is death. In other words, we deserve death for our sins. Therefore, if we are in the presence of the Lord, the punishment we deserve is death. So we cannot have a relationship with this holy God in our sin. But we read in the Old Testament that God created a temporary solution for this. And the temporary solution was the tabernacle, which later became the temple. And the tabernacle and the temple were this great big place where there is holy space inside, and the priests would go in and they would offer these sacrifices. And everybody reads the Old Testament and they wonder, why are all these sacrifices going on? There's so much blood and guts. And wonder, why on earth is all of this happening? The priests were going in to offer sacrifices because this was a temporary way of dealing with sin. You see, you and I deserve judgment because of our sin. Scripture says we deserve death for our sin. But the Lord, in his mercy, did not carry out that sentence immediately on the people, and instead he said, I will offer this system as a substitute so that these animals will be sacrificed instead as a temporary solution to deal with sin so that God could actually be among the people. But that wasn't all that happened in the temple, because we read in the scripture this morning, inside that big temple, there was an inner place, the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And that was the place where it was understood that God himself lived or dwelled. He was present there. And nobody was allowed to enter that place, because you would be in the presence of God himself, and a sinful person cannot be in the presence of a holy God. If you entered that room, you would die. Now, there was one exception to that. That was the high priest. Once a year, the high priest was told to go into that room, the Holy of Holies, and offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people. Now, given that whole picture, think about how deadly this job is. You are told to go into a room that 364 days out of the year is a death chamber. 364 days out of the year, going into that room means you immediately die. And actually, for anyone except the high priest, 365 days out of the year, that's the reality. So this guy has to go into a room that is like that for most of the year, and then when he steps foot in the room, he has to trust that this isn't going to happen. I would be a little bit nervous going into that room if I were the high priest. But the scripture doesn't just say that. It says that if he does not carry out God's instructions or do things as God has told him to do in that room, then he will die. And you actually see an example of this in the scriptures. If you go back and you look at Leviticus 10, we see that Aaron had a couple of sons who were priests. And Aaron's sons were priests, and they were serving before the Lord, and they weren't taking their job very seriously. They were messing around. And they were offering sacrifices in a way that the Lord had not instructed them to do it. It says they were offering incense, and they were offering this incense in a way the Lord wasn't. It didn't instruct them to do it. They weren't taking their job seriously. And it literally says that fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. This is scary stuff. That they were basically killed right then and there. And this is what the Lord said after that happened. He said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. I will be holy. And before all the people, I will be glorified. Aaron's sons are messing around. They aren't taking their job seriously. They're not taking their job seriously. And God says, I will not be trivialized. I will not be minimized. My glory will not be minimized. You will take me seriously because this is not games. So the high priest had one of the most deadly jobs that a person could have. But it was an incredibly important job. Because it was only because of this system and the things that the high priest was doing that the people could actually have God live among them in this temple or this tabernacle. But there were some problems with these high priests because they couldn't seem to fully solve the issues that were at stake. First of all, we see that the high priests could never be perfect mediators because they had sins of their own. The high priests were themselves sinful, and so they were acting as mediators and offering sacrifices for the sins of the people, but they had sins of their own that needed to be forgiven. So who was going to offer sacrifices for them? This is what it says in the book of Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 5:3, a high priest is obligated to offer sacrifices for his own sins just as he does for those of the people. You see, that the high priest was also sinful, so he could never serve as a perfect mediator between God and the people. Having a high priest offer sacrifices for you is a bit like going to take your clothes to be cleaned. Let's say you go to the dry cleaner and you take some clothes to be cleaned and you go into the dry cleaner and the dry cleaner comes out and is ready to take your clothes and he's covered in mud and has mud all over his hands. How would you like to give your clothes to that dry cleaner? You think to yourself, no, thank you, because you're not eligible to clean my clothes. You need somebody to clean you up first. Well, that was sort of like the high priest. he couldn't fully be eligible to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people because he had sins of his own. So that's the first part, is the high priests had their own sins, so they couldn't be perfect mediators. The second thing, though, we see is that they couldn't be perfect mediators because they had to offer these sacrifices over and over and over again, just nonstop. Listen to this, what it says in Hebrews 10:11. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. Why did the sacrifices have to be offered so many times? You read through the Old Testament, you think, man, this must have just been incredibly difficult to keep doing this over and over. And the reason they had to be done over and over was because they could never fully take away sin. And so it was just once after another, after another, after another. It's like you go and you get your car washed, and then it's dirty a couple days later, and so you got to wash it again, and then you got to wash it again. And that's why I don't wash my car that often. Don't tell Jeff Schleter about that, because I'll be in big trouble. You got to keep doing it again and again and again. The sacrifices had to be offered again and again and again, because they could never fully cleanse completely and permanently. The high priests had sins of their own. Their sacrifices had to be done over and over again. And then finally, they were imperfect because they never fully solved the problem, which was that man was separated from God. God was in the Holy of Holies. No one could go into God's presence because God was holy and we are sinful. And no matter how many years the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and made that sacrifice, the reality was still there. God was still in the Holy of Holies and nobody could go in that place. This is what it says in Hebrews 9:6-8. The priests go regularly into the first section of the temple, performing their ritual duties, but into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet opened. It says it right there. The high priest continued to do these duties, and yet we were still separated from God ultimately. So how would this ultimately be fixed then? We see this temporary solution, and yet it had so many shortcomings. Was there somebody who could actually fix the shortcomings that the high priests have? Well, the New Testament says there was a great high priest who would not have all of the shortcomings of the other high priests, and his name was Jesus. Jesus was not like the old high priests. He was a great high priest. In fact, the scripture we read today says he is a high priest, but he's not like all the others. Because first of all, he had no sin of his own. The old high priests had sins of their own. Jesus had no sin. It says in Hebrews 7:27, he has no need, like those other priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. You see, Jesus had no sins of his own, so he didn't need to offer sacrifices for himself. When he died on the cross, he didn't need to die for his own sins. He could die for the sins of others. Sometimes people ask the question, why couldn't somebody else have died on the cross? Why couldn't you or I have died on the cross? What made Jesus so special? Couldn't anybody have just done that? Well, you see, if you or I died on the cross, we would merely be getting what we deserve. We would be dying for our own sins. Jesus had no sins, and so he could die for the sins of others. You see what makes him so unique? He wasn't like all the other high priests. He had no sins of his own. But not only that, he didn't have to offer sacrifices repeatedly. The old high priest had to offer them over and over again. What it says about Jesus is that Jesus, when he made his sacrifice, he appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Or again in Hebrews 10:14, it says, by a single sacrifice he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Jesus' sacrifice permanently and completely cleanses from sin. He doesn't have to do it over again. It's a one-time sacrifice for all. But that's not it. That's not all. Because unlike the high priests in the Old Testament, Jesus solved the separation that we had between God. Jesus did not come to just show up at the temple and walk in and go into the holy place, the Holy of Holies, like all the other high priests had done before him. That wasn't his purpose. He didn't come to just go into a room and say, I've been in the room where God lives. No, he came to actually reconcile us to God himself and to actually present us before God so that we could be in a permanent relationship with him and so that God would never have to be separated off in a room again. This is what it says in Hebrews. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. When Christ died on the cross, the barrier between us and God was taken down so that Christ could then present us before God and place us in God's presence and say, this person can now be in a relationship with God because their sin has been taken away. That's why after Jesus died, do you remember what it says about what happened in the temple? Jesus dies on the cross, and all of a sudden it says mysteriously that the curtain in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies was torn in two. Now, nobody did that. Nobody went in and pulled it and ripped it. First of all, it would have been a huge curtain. They wouldn't have had the strength to do that. It tore mysteriously because Jesus had taken down the barrier between the holy God and the sinful people. Jesus is the great high priest. Now, I know that we don't often think of Jesus as a high priest. When you talk about Jesus, or if you were to share Jesus with someone, maybe the last thing you would think of is talking about him in terms of being a high priest. But the scriptures say this is an important part of his identity because it's the fact that he's a high priest that we can be cleansed from our sin and actually have a relationship with God. And this is something that is extremely important no matter where you are this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and maybe you're somebody who doesn't really know what you think about Jesus, maybe you don't know if you trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and yet you've always had some sense in your life that there's something that's not quite right, something that's broken and that needs to be fixed, something that has sort of separated you from really knowing who God is. The scriptures tell us clearly exactly what that is, and it's called sin, and it does separate us from a holy God. But Jesus came precisely so that you could have that sin taken away and so that you could have a relationship with God. If you're in that position this morning and you're hearing these words for the first time, don't close your ears off. I pray that you would really hear this because the scripture says those benefits can be yours for anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But many of us in the room probably have been Christians for many years. We know who Jesus is and we follow Jesus, and yet even though many of us still know who Christ is, many of us may still struggle with feeling unworthy. Maybe you are someone who has always felt like God could never forgive the sins of your past, that you still seem that you feel unclean before God or unworthy to enter his presence, or that some way you're not fully cleansed. And if you ever have struggled with those feelings, if you've ever struggled with feeling unworthy before God, I pray that you would see that Jesus came precisely so that you wouldn't have to be in that position. He came and he had no sins of his own so that he could take your sins from you, put them on himself, and die for those sins on the cross so that you would never have to feel again as though there was anything that separated you from God. Not only that, but he went so far as to go into the presence of God, and it says that he went into the presence of God on our behalf to present us to God and to say, this person, Lord, every single person in this room, he hands them to God and he says, this person is eligible now to enter the Holy of Holies, to enter into the presence of God, to be in a relationship with God because of what I have done, Jesus says, there is no longer anything that separates them. That's what the gospel says. That's what Jesus does as our great high priest. So if you've ever struggled with any of those feelings, I pray that you would see what this scripture tells us this morning. In fact, in the Hebrews, it puts it this way, and the scripture always says it better than I could. Jesus entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. I pray that you would know the eternal redemption that Jesus, our great high priest, offers to us, and that you wouldn't just know it today or know it once in a while, but that you would know that reality every single day. Jesus is our great high priest, and if you don't know him as your great high priest, he's available as your great high priest. And it's because of his blood, and it's because he went into the holy places that you and I can have a permanent relationship with God himself. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for this truth that we see in the scriptures this morning. And it is a truth which is powerful, Lord, and some of these ideas are not things that we normally think about, and yet it's so important because it is these truths which show us precisely how we could be free from our sins. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who doesn't know these truths, that you would be speaking to them right now and helping them to know that you are available for them for eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Lord, work in each of our hearts to help us to know that we are loved by you and that we are accepted by you, not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done on our behalf. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.